You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. And the scripture reading today is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but if after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure all afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead and get started, and we'll open up for prayer. Father, we pause now to say thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we know that we are winners in him, and the fact that we're winning is because Christ is in control, and whatever happens is based according to his plan. So we rest in that. We know we are ambassadors for Christ, and we pray that we take that ministry through our hearts to be a good ambassador for you and do what you'd have us do and walk the way you'd have us walk and be a minister for what you'd have us teach. And we thank you for our calling, the ability to have the scriptures freely available to us so we can study them, get to know you better, and be a good witness for you wherever we are. So, Lord, pray for the lesson to follow that gives glory to your Son, Christ. If there are any errors, please strike them out. Any truth in it, please burn it in our heart so we might remember the scriptures and be a better ambassador for you in our walk. For it's in Christ's name we pray, for his sake, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Paul's at the end of his ministry. He's writing to Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. We, as ambassadors for Christ, have a calling. Now, I have taught my class in the back the role of ambassador and what position they play with nations, the U.S. ambassador to some country represents the U.S. in that country. We, our citizenship as Christians, are in the heavenlies, so we're ambassadors here on the earth because our citizenship is in the heavenlies. Now, when you look at the list that Paul is giving Timothy, you can think on each one of those items. He says, watch thou in all things. Be alert. You know, the witness that Clark gave on the county they're going to on Thursday. You know, if there's any doubt, Christianity is under attack, and it's full blown. You know, the president we have now is not a Christian. And the czars that he's appointing to his staff are vehemently against not only Christianity, but American Republic. The Frank Lloyd was his most current appointment to the diversity czar of the SFCC. Well, his comments were regarding radio. He thinks that private radio stations that promote things like Rush Limbaugh and conservative radio talk shows should pay a fee equal to 100% of their gross budget. So let's say it takes, you know, $10 million for my radio show to operate. The FCC would require you to pay $10 million fee to continue broadcasting and maintain your license. That's a 100% tax on free radio. Well, by the way, that fee would then go to the National Public Radio, fund that group, which are competitors to the private radio. The Frank Lloyd statement about media, he's very complimentary about Mr. Chavez down in Venezuela, how he handled the rebellion in the media. He nationalized them, meaning he made them the government, so there wouldn't be any rebellion in the free press. These are the people that our president is appointing, and there's no congressional approval on these appointments. These czars he's putting in place are at full attack, trying to dismantle this Christian republic. So, Timothy said, and Paul said to Timothy, "Watch thou in all things." Now, if it worked for the Christian right, it'd be all over. The Christian right is fighting to maintain whatever semblance of a Christian republic we had, but we're still losing. That's why number two on the list says, endure afflictions. Man, they're going to come after you, and you're told to endure afflictions. And while you do that, do the work of an evangelist. I'm a fighter. When I'm under attack, I like to fight back. But I'm supposed to do the work of an evangelist. It's funny, if you consider the term evangelist, what does that mean? Turn to page 2. There's a neat little tool called Wikipedia. Raise your hand if you've ever used it. Okay, Wikipedia is like an encyclopedia on the web. It's free, and it's maintained by the world. If you think you're an expert on a topic, you submit the definition of the topic to Wikipedia. Then they go through an approval process. They vet it. And then it becomes part of the database. So the reason I love this tool is because it's an excellent representation of what the world thinks. So, went to Wikipedia, typed in evangelist. Here's what I got. It had multiple definitions, but under religion, it said, a Christian who explains his or her beliefs to a non-Christian and thereby participates in evangelism. You can read that at that URL. So the word evangelism was a hyperlink. So I clicked on evangelism and say, okay, what does evangelism mean? Well, it's a practice of attempting to convert people to a religion. The term is used most often in reference to Christianity, since those mandate that their followers make efforts to recruit as many people as possible to their faith. However, the term may be used for the practice of attempting to convert people to any religion, even if that religion does not specify, require that its followers engage in evangelism. For this reason, there are evangelists in Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, or other religions. Even though those religions are not evangelical by nature, the term is sometimes used as a metaphor in a non-religion context as well. The intention of most Christian evangelism is to convert those who do not follow the Christian God to Christianity for the purpose of effecting their eternal salvation. You know, as I read this, it's like, the Christian God. They won't even say his name. Christ Jesus. Evangelism is done in obedience to the Great Commission, the command from Jesus sent to his disciples to proselytize according to the accounts of the New Testament. Christians who specialize in evangelism are known as evangelists, whether they are in their home communities or acting as missionaries in the field. Some Christian traditions consider evangelists to be in a leadership position, and they may be found preaching to large meetings in the governance roles. Christian groups who actively encourage evangelism are sometimes known as evangelical, evangelistic, or evangelist. That's found at that URL. So, I looked up evangelization. Is that process in the Christian religion, which seeks to spread the gospel and the knowledge of the gospel throughout the world, it can be defined as so. The announcement of the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit with the goal of inviting all listeners to trust Him. In its precise sense, evangelization is the missio ad gentes directed to those who do not know Christ. In a wider sense, it is used to describe ordinary pastoral work, while the phrase new evangelism denotes pastoral outreach to those who no longer practice Christian faith. So if you're a new evangelist, you're somebody preaching something without Christ. Now you notice it said that in the second paragraph of evangelism that the evangelism involves the Great Commission. Evangelism is done in obedience to the Great Commission. Okay, so let's look up Great Commission. Wikipedia says the Great Commission in Christian tradition is the instruction of the resurrected Christ to his disciples that they spread his teachings to all the nations of the world. It has become a tenet in Christian theology emphasizing mission work, evangelism, and baptism. It has been a primary basis for Christian missionary activity. Some Christian denominations believe that the Great Commission and other prophecy was fulfilled in the apostolic age, or basically see Peterism. The most famous version of the Great Commission is found in Matthew 28:16-20, where Jesus calls on the followers to baptize all nations in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Matthew also records an earlier lesser commission in 10:5-42, directed only to the children of Israel. They're taken during Jesus' mortal life. In Luke, Jesus says that all people who will be called to repentance, and tells also his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they become invested with power, see Pentecost. Luke also has Jesus dispatching disciples during his ministry, sending them to all nations and giving them power over demons. In John, Jesus bestows the Holy Spirit on the disciples. The Great Commission is the tradition ending of Mark, is thought to be a secondary century summary based in Matthew and Mark. Some scholars of the historical Jesus, notice he's historical Jesus, generally discount the Great Commission as reflecting not Jesus' words, but rather the Christian community in which each gospel is written. Some scholars, such as John Dominic Crossan, asserted that Jesus did commission apostles during his lifetime as reported in the gospels. Other scholars, however, see even those lesser commissions to represent the Christian invitation rather than history. That's enough of Wikipedia. So I went through the rabbit trail and I hopped in these words and read what they said. So let's look at the Great Commission. Matthew 28:16-20. Here, Jesus is telling his disciples, and I've taught a lesson on disciples. There are 12 disciples. He's giving the lesson to his 12 disciples, specifically. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee. Okay, what's happened to 12? Well, remember, there was one bad disciple, Judas. Judas betrayed him. He's been set aside. You don't get the 12th disciple again till Acts chapter 1. So, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with always, even of the world. Amen." This is a great commission. It was given to the 11 disciples, and they were to go teach and to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Now, back up to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, we have an instance where Jesus was teaching these disciples, and a Gentile woman came up to wanted to speak to Jesus so he might heal her daughter. And he did not respond to her. In verse 5 he says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, Go not..." Okay, what I just said, I was too early. Matthew 10:5, he says to the disciples, "Go into not into the way of the Gentiles, and enter into the city of Samaritan, and enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and preach, everyone saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." These disciples were specifically sent to the Jews who were not Christians. Now, as an example, Matthew 15:22, we had a woman come to Jesus. Verse 22, "A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, or the Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and sought him, Send her away, for if he cries after us, she bugs us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It's not your handout, but go to Mark chapter 16. Kind of go to verse 14. Mark 16:14. Go there in the scripture. And if we read, it says, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat and ate meat, and upbraided them that with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these are the signs that follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord had spoken unto them, and he was received into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Now, the challenge, go back to page 1 of your handout. The challenge of Christianity is trying to reconcile these statements. You know, I believe, so why don't I have these powers? Why don't I am able to heal people? why am I not able to speak in tongues? It must be me. I must not have received Christ properly. And there have been denominations formed based on these beliefs. And all their tradition is in practice trying to confirm these things that have been said. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's on page 1 of your handout. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God hath set some in his church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, are you all apostles? Are you all prophets? Are you all teachers? Are you all workers of miracles? Have all you the gift of healing? Do you all speak with tongues? Do you all interpret? But covetly earnest the best gifts, that I show you unto you a more excellent way. Now, what's interesting about this list really kind of goes along with this thing in Mark 16, Matthew 28. So the Great Commission was given to the disciples, and they were going out. Now remember, there was no written word back then. They didn't have King James Bible laying around like you and I have. So if an apostle was going to a group of people, how would they know that person had the authority to speak the Word of God? Well, the Word says, confirming the Word with signs following. The signs that we listed in Corinthians and Mark were confirming the Word so those who heard the Word might see, oh, these guys must be real. We don't have that today. We have the completed scriptures. All that stopped at Acts 28:28, when God put the nation of Israel on hold and started calling to the Gentiles specifically. There are new lists that apply today. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's on page 1 of your handout. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Now, we need that gift of grace quite often. Because this weekend, I used all the grace up this weekend. But fortunately, it's not tapped out. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Hey, I like gifts. What's mine? Now, he ascended, he descended first unto the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, it stops. See, there's no science here. There's no confirming the word with signs following. There's no speaking in tongues. There's no healing the sick. That's over. But what are you? Are you an evangelist? Are you a teacher? You see, all these gifts are for the perfecting of the saints. Now, saints are Christian people. So, once you become saved, there's a work in process. You're now forgiven of all your sins. But, what do I do now? I'm saved. Go do the Great Commission. Wrong. That's not our calling. Now, if we try and take scriptures that are applicable to Jewish context and make them our own, we're robbing from Judaism. We have our own calling. We have our own calling specifically given to us that is our Great Commission. And what's that Great Commission for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Now, go to page 3. Sorry, go to page 4. So what is the Great Commission for today? When Paul was going through his list with Timothy, he said, you know, be alert. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, we send our children to Christian Heritage Academy, which is a great, great school. They teach Bible. They promote Jesus Christ. They promote Christian self-government. And they have a lot of what the Baptists believe and teach. So they're fired up on the Great Commission. They take those scriptures and try to motivate the students to do this. And I'm sure the Lord will use it correctly. But Paul says in Ephesians 3:1, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, I'm Gentile. I think you are too. You're not Jewish. You know, I have a gentleman at work that I work with, and he's a good Christian man. But he said, hey, I'll meet you on the middle gate of the Eastern Wall. I said, what? Well, he and his family have agreed that on New Jerusalem, because it has 12 gates, they're going to meet at the middle gate on the Eastern Wall. So, why the Eastern Gate? Are you part of that tribe? No, we just thought it was a neat place to meet. Well, I'll meet you in the heavenlies far above when I'm sitting there with Christ. And I'll be watching that New Jerusalem down with the Jews. But for you Gentiles, if you had heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me to you, of course, how that by revelation, he meant to me the mystery. This mystery was revealed to the Apostle Paul directly from Christ himself. It wasn't in the scriptures. It wasn't in the Old Testament. It wasn't in the prophets. They didn't have it hidden in scripture. It was hidden in God before the foundation of the world. And now revealed to the Gentiles. Verse 5, which in other ages made not known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is the gospel I'm talking about. This is the good news. He says, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given to me by the effectual working of his power. Man, unto me, him and the least and the least of all saints, is this grace given. But it's given that I may preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. Man, this is good. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world hidden in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He is demonstrating his wisdom to these principalities and powers by the mystery showing how God has accomplished everything in Christ Jesus and we are complete in him. And this was according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus his Lord. Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, with which we have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul I am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill you up which is behind, and the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, the mystery, when it was given, completed Scripture. There's no more Scripture written. When Paul delivered this body of truth, it was done. This tells us that anybody who comes along and says, hey, there's a new revelation. God says the Word of God is complete. There's no new revelation. I was speaking to another Christian in my office. And believe me, I love the fact that I'm working with Christians now. My new job, I'm like 4 months into it. And they're a Christian shop, and the owners are Christian. And it's a real blessing. Because previous jobs, I've been working for atheists and agnostics and big corporations. And, you know, that's filled with all kinds of stuff. But having a conversation with another Christian, he was talking about things he was staying with his daughters. And it was something regarding divorce. And, of course, we're not for divorce. And he mentioned, yeah, well, Paul was married. I said, what? Where in Scripture does it say Paul was married? I don't remember reading that. So, where in Scripture? Please show me, because it's not from Scripture. It's from other books. I said, hold on, right there. If you're relying on books, historical books, it's not Scripture, then you want to run. Yeah, you want to head for the hills and take your Scripture with you, because, you know, what they're saying is not based on Scripture. It's based on whatever. Now, I have a niece at Baylor. She's a junior this year. I was talking to Lynn, my brother. And, he's down in Bernie, Texas, and they go to a Baptist church. But he was talking about he's refusing to join. And when they take communion, he refuses to take communion. And he doesn't mind the stares, because it's a testimony. Why don't you take communion? Why don't you baptize? Why don't you believe in water baptism? And he's able to scripturally show there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's not water baptism. Communion is Jewish. It's for the new covenant. I'm not part of the new covenant. And he's always like, if you have some time, get your scriptures and come over and we'll study these things. So he's really excited to use it as an opportunity to witness among the Baptists. Now, she goes to a Baptist school, Baylor. And she's got professors who are teaching things. And she called and said, Dad, I was so excited. There was a girl who asked a question in the classroom, and it was regarding something in Scripture that was contrary to what was being believed today. I don't specifically need to call the details, but she was excited because through right division, she knew the answer. You know, dispensations change, and the truth to that dispensations change. So what's the current rules for the road doesn't apply. Last time, rules for the road have changed. So truth is progressive in Scripture. She was so excited she called and said, Dad, I knew the answer. And she later got with the girl and helped her understand that. I said, Lynn, great job. You have really trained your daughters well. But I told them a story. It said, I had a guy at the office said, Paul is married. I don't know that. Where in Scripture? Well, it wasn't. It was some other books. Okay, those professors will use proof texts other than Scripture. So please make her be aware. So if anything comes up where their proof is not Scripture, make sure she doesn't accept it. We agreed to have a good talk. Anyways, Archaic Commission is called the mystery. It's a body of truth given to the Apostle Paul, who then might make all saints see what is the fellowship of the mystery. 1 Colossians 1:25. He is made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to you for fulfill the word of God, complete, even the mystery which was hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherever whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which he worketh in me mightily. Paul was writing Timothy, and he said, be an evangelist. What does an evangelist do today? What should they do today? Now, I've always felt that our calling here is to make all men see, all saints see. The word saints means Christians see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We have dedicated resources on our website to do just that. We're about ready to make a major upgrade to the site, which will take us to the next level of ministry on the web for the mystery and for Right Division. I was intending to show you that upgrade this morning, but the computer was not working with me. So I hate computers. So I was going to show you the next level of the ministry that we are doing here at Northside Bible Church with RightDivision.com. But it will be coming soon. So what is our calling? What if Paul was writing me, would he say, do the work of a webmaster? What is that work of an evangelist? He was telling Timothy that. If we're supposed to take the gifts that were given to us and put them to work for the effort in the body of Christ to help all people see the mystery, but if they aren't saved, they can't see it. So first, are you saved? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? If not, that's the only thing we should talk about. Now, once you become saved, now let me tell you the Great Commission for today. The Apostle Paul has something written specifically for you. It's a mystery called the mystery of the body of truth, given specifically to him by Jesus to reveal to the Gentiles that they may understand their position in Christ. That's what we should be doing today. So, thank you. That's our lesson. So, we should make full proof of thy ministry with the Great Commission for today. Let's end in prayer. Father God, we pause now and say thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the testimony of Paul. And thank you for the ministry that he was given. And help us understand our responsibilities and learning and teaching this body of truth called the mystery, and help us be a good steward for that calling. And just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's his name we pray, in his name we ask it. Amen. There was one thing I wanted to say. When we read in 1 Corinthians on page 1, verse 31 of chapter 12, he says, but covetly earnest the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. In this Right Division pamphlet, Pastor McLean wrote an article on page 25. And the title of that article is The More Excellent Way. This is a really good study on comparing the gifts that were applicable during the time when they were confirming the word, and now when scripture is complete, there's a more excellent way. So be sure and grab this, read that article on the back. It's not very long, but it's called The More Excellent Way.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.